God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, the church celebrates the baptism of our Lord. And even though that's embedded in our gospel reading, I want to sort of pick up on why our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, came. Why God took on flesh and blood and made his dwelling among us. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it gives us an inkling there, and it gives us a real good inkling. It says, "And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil." So today we're going to focus on those last few words, under the power of the devil. Is there really a devil in today's world? I know the Christian church usually doesn't talk too much about the devil. And if we do talk about or hear about in today's society about an evil one, maybe that could refer to some political figure. It could be some other distant country. Or even popularized by some fantasy books in the realm of fantasy. Two of my favorites, of course, you probably already know, that of the Harry Potter series and that of the Lord of the Rings. And in both those books, there is that great antagonist. There is that great dark one, so to speak, that evil one. That evil one that if you even come close to, it begins to start to rub off on you in the case of the Lord of the Rings. And so you have to avoid the evil one. But in our world today, do we just fantasize that there is a devil relegated to just books and good fiction? Or do we truly believe that there is an evil one? As you can probably already guess, I wouldn't be talking about it in a sermon unless that there was some Christian application. And here's the kind of the point here. You see, we need to understand that, yes, there is a devil. There is an evil one who is looking out for you. The reason why we have to say that there is an evil one, otherwise we would have no need for a Savior. Notice what our text says. Why did Jesus begin his public ministry with his baptism? Except to set an example that we must be baptized. And why must we be baptized? Because we need to have God's grace. And why do we need to have God's grace? Because there is a devil. There is sin. There is something that pulls us away from God. And we can't do it ourselves. We need that Savior. There is an evil one. When Jesus dies on the cross, he dies on the cross to defeat sin, death, and the devil. There is a devil. There is an evil one. But if we just relegate that evil one or the devil to fiction, we lose sight of what the gospel message is all about. We lose sight of who Christ is and why God took on flesh and blood and made his dwelling among us. We need that evil one to be there. I know it sounds kind of strange, but the fact is that once Adam and Eve sinned, sin came into this world and God's creation was corrupted. Because of that sin in the world in which the devil began that rebellion, mankind has now been corrupted. Let me go back to those two books in which I was alluding to, both Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. And I'll make no apologies for being fans of both, having read both series. There's another interesting parallel I want you to consider. If you're familiar with the books or the movies, you may realize that the hero in both books is touched, in one essence, by the evil one and is scarred. That's important for us to understand, especially in light of today's message. In Harry Potter, he receives that scar on the forehead. For Frodo, he receives a scar in the shoulder on top of Weathertop by one of the Dark Lord's, you could say, messengers, so to speak. What's interesting about that scar is because it came from the evil one, that person is now touched by the evil one. So whenever evil comes along, what happens? The scar burns. The scar stops the person. The person can't do what the person was intending to do because of the burning, the pain, the sensation. For Frodo, it was a time when the enemy's agents were coming. And he was in pain because of the scar and he couldn't move. His friend had to move him to a place of safety. So also as a Christian, we have to realize that we also have been scarred by sin. We also have been scarred by this devil. And the scar is part of us. It is our sinful human nature. And so when sin, death, and the devil crosses our path, our sort of sinful nature scar burns within us. And that's why as Christians, we do fall into the temptation and trap of sin. Even though we know we shouldn't, but yet something within us is drawn to it. Actually, in that song that we sang in our hymn of praise, hymn number 75, in that third stanza, strangely enough, also relates to the same concept of that scar. The author writer here said, let me just read the whole stanzas. As they offered gifts most rare at thy cradle, rude and bare, so may we with holy joy, pure and free from sin's alloy. It's that phrase, sin's alloy. Sort of that sin being mixed even within our nature. Just like steel is sort of a conglomeration of different metals mixed in together and hardened. So it is actually for our sinful nature, our scar, so to speak, being touched by the evil one is with us. We need to be freed from that. But how can we be freed from something that is within us? Even in The Lord of the Rings, after the Dark Lord is ultimately defeated, Frodo still bore that scar. And it even still hurt him as a reminder of what was in the past. And was in one essence, so with the Christian. We have to remember as we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, that when Jesus dies on the cross, yes, he defeats sin, death, and the devil. The devil is ultimately defeated, but while we're still on this side of heaven, bearing that scar, we still have the pain. We still have the temptations. We still have the trials. It's not until we get to be with our Lord and Savior in heaven above. And if you remember when we talk about being up there in heaven, what kind of bodies will we have? I always joke around, it'd be nice to have that nice, perfect body at age 20. And I didn't even have it at age 20, so can you just make me that perfect body? Well, the answer to that is we will have that glorified body. The reason why it has to be glorified is so that it removes the scar that the evil one put upon us. It removes that connecting point that we once had, or that where we have now, but it'll be in heaven, it'll be once we had up there in heaven, because in heaven there will be no more sin, there will be no more trials, there will be no more temptations. There will be that complete separation, and God doesn't sit there and just sort of like a surgeon cut it out of us like a cancer. It's part of our whole body and who we are. He has to give us that glorious, glorified body. Again, I have to set the stage here that, yes, there is a devil. He does mark us. And in part of us is even drawn to him. And now we have to say, this isn't right. This isn't good. What can we do to defend ourselves? And here for a moment, I do need to deviate from the books. Because in Harry Potter, we learn that Harry Potter has some good friends, and he also learns some charms and magic along the way to help defend himself. With Frodo, he has the help of good friends. But for the Christian, our magic charm, so to speak, would probably be God's Word and the sacraments. As we are reminded of Christ's victory, he also gives us strength in the darkest moments of our lives. When all things seem to be going the wrong way and sin and evil seems to be infecting us and we seem to be drawn to it and we can't do anything to stop ourselves, it is God and His Word that gives us that strength. Now, I will admit, in both books, in both series, the hero, so to speak, had good, faithful friends. And I don't want to dismiss the friend concept, but I also can't dismiss the concept that Jesus is our Savior. Hang on to those friends for a moment because they played an important part in both series of books and they play a very important part in the Christian church. They're just not the Savior. You may have very good, wonderful friends, but they're not Jesus. Okay? Jesus is the Savior. Your friends, however, do provide another important part. Let me put it this way. You see, one of the reasons why the church gathers around Word and Sacrament is because Jesus is our Savior. He is our strength. He is the one that gives us that strength when we need it the most. And why do we need good friends? The same reason why we have the fellowship here at Trinity. Why we gather together. And why we also share meals outside of Trinity. And we share certain events. We develop a community here because God also works through that community. You see, whenever Christians share that Word of God in community, we're also sharing God. So God works through that fellowship as Christians, as we come together to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, because plain and simple, we are still part under that power, the devil. Sin is still in this world, sin is still part of us, and we need that strength. So God not only provides His Word in written form, His Word for us to take in bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, but also that Word to overcome the power of the devil as we gather as fellow Christians to encourage, to pray for one another and support one another in times of need. Why do we need that support? Plain and simple, as Acts 10 verse 38 says, we are under the power of the devil. Now I will admit that sounds kind of dreary, that we're under the power of the devil. As you read both series of books, there's a great deal of struggle going on. But as we take a look at our own life, what's really different? In our own lives, there's still a lot of pain, there's a lot of struggle going on. But in our life as the Christian, we realize that there is salvation, that there is a Savior. We realize that we are going to be redeemed. We are redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. With the Harry Potter series, we still have to wait for the last book to find out exactly what happens at the end. With Lord of the Rings, it is complete. We know that the Dark Lord is ultimately defeated. As Christians, we do have to wait, and we do know the Dark Lord is ultimately defeated. Let me explain it this way. Because of our sinful human nature and that tie to sin in this world, yes, the Christian will have trials and sufferings and temptations. Yes, Jesus did defeat sin, death, and the devil upon the cross. But until we're brought with Him in heaven above, we still have to struggle in this world. God does provide the answer of hope through His Word, through His sacraments, through the community of believers. But it doesn't necessarily ease the pain. The pain will be with us always while we're still in this body with flesh and blood. So we need to remind ourselves that, yes, we are under the power of the devil. Sometimes Christians like to avoid the concept of the devil and to avoid all concept of pain and just try to go around in life and say, don't worry, everything is fine, everything is fine, everything is fine. But that doesn't always really help. We really need to be honest. There are times in our lives that things aren't always fine. There are times in our lives where things are falling apart. There are times in our lives that we need the strength. And when we admit that, yes, we need that strength, we're also admitting we need that Savior. That's what Acts chapter 10, verse 38 is trying to remind us. We need that Savior. That's why Jesus began His public ministry after His baptism. Not because He needed to be cleansed by sin, but He wanted to give us a model that this is where we receive the grace of God through baptism. Jesus went around doing good, as Luke says in Acts chapter 10, and healing all those who are under the power of the devil. God came to save sinners. Sinners who have been marked by the evil one. Sinners who are struggling in trials and temptations. Sinners who need that Savior. Who need that deliverance. The Dark Lord is here. The devil is around. We don't fear. In the Harry Potter series, people feared the Dark Lord so much they didn't even want to say his name. Well, we say the name of the devil. We don't fear it because we believe and worship the one who has truly conquered sin, death, and the devil. We know that there's going to be an end. We just have to wait for the last book in Harry Potter. But for the Christian, we know it's going to be a glorious end. So we ask the Lord to continue to strengthen us when the dark and trialous times of our lives occur, to remind us even more that, yes, He is with us always. He's there to give us that strength. And when our sinful nature is pulling us the wrong direction, we ask the Lord, as we'll sing in our offertory, to create in us a clean heart or a new heart, O Lord. And He will. He does. And when times get rough, it's always great to call upon a good friend. Someone we can talk to on the phone. Someone we can share a cup of coffee with. Someone to strengthen us and not forget to even call upon our Lord in prayer, as He also strengthens us, not only through His words and sacraments, but also through conversation. So this day, as we celebrate the beginning of Epiphany, the baptism of our Lord, the beginning of His public ministry here on earth, we understand now the purpose. The purpose is to redeem, to help out those who are under the power of the devil. We call upon the Lord for His strength and mercy as we realize that we need Him as our Savior. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.